We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin Podcast.
This week we have former Phillies player, former Phillies manager, former Phillies coach, former Phillies, he's not former, he's the wall. He's on the Wall of Fame at the Phillies. However, he should be in the regular Hall of Fame, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and that is Larry Boa, talking about the situation now, the situation going down the line, what to look for in this 60-game season, and what really a team needs to have an advantage. And he looks at some teams that he feels have a distinct advantage over the other teams in this time of, think about this, a 60-game season, you play 15 games, you're a quarter of a way through the season. So teams can't dilly-dally. I wouldn't go as far as what Gabe Kapler said. Every inning and every game is like a World Series. Gabe obviously over-accentuates everything, it seems, in the game. However, let's not deal with Gabe. We're going to deal with Larry Boa, and he has some interesting comments and didn't deal directly with the GOAT of Broad Street, which it's a farce that it's Allen Iverson. Great player. But the greatest player of all time in Philadelphia in the last 50 years? Are you kidding me? When you have Mike Schmidt, you have Steve Carlton, you have Reggie White. Come on now. It is. I think Charles Barkley is a better player, greater player than Allen Iverson. When you look at what he can do, Allen Iverson was a guy that played hard on game nights, but he didn't do it on the other nights. But however, and we talk about the most important players on the 2008 World Series team, there is a difference of opinion with some people, not with me, and you'd be surprised who he would take as his second baseman of the former Phillies that have played in the organization. But right now, let's hear from Larry Boa, and then we'll discuss some of the things after he is finished, and I will address some of the things that he'd said.
All right, I'm with former Phillies great, should be in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, the voters aren't smart enough. Former manager, former player, and always a guy that understands the game as well as anybody, and that would be Larry Boa. Larry, welcome on what are really strange times now in our country and certainly in sports.
Oh, there's no question, Howard. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I was managing when 9/11 happened in New York, and that was devastating, no question about that. Nothing was good about that, obviously, the way it happened, but I think there was the finality to it. After it happened, you know, we felt pretty safe about how we were going to go about our business, because it's obviously security beefing up and everything like that. With this thing keeps going on and on and on, and we got to find a way to get it under control to the point where we're not putting anybody in harm's way, you know, health-wise, because I think health is the biggest issue here, Howard. You don't want anybody to get sick. And the last 2 or 3 months, I've seen a lot of video of people sick in hospitals with ventilators, it's not very good to see. So hopefully that will not happen when we do start this up.
All right, so now they're going to have basically like a little less than 3 weeks of spring training.
Right.
It's just 3 weeks of spring training is really to have, we're not going to have the same quality baseball, but is that enough for everybody, and that includes the pitchers?
I think it's enough for the hitters. I don't think it's enough for the pitchers. I know they've all said they've been throwing, but when you just do bullpens and then obviously the hitter gets in there, it's a little bit different. I'm a firm believer, Howard, that whoever has the best bullpens in this quick sprint of 60 games is going to win or get in the playoffs, because I think the bullpens are going to play major, major roles. I really don't see a guy going five or six innings till maybe, I don't know, maybe the third start. You know, hopefully the third start they can get it up there, five or six innings. But until then, you know, two, three innings. Some guys might only throw 2 innings. It depends on pitch count, obviously. You're not going to have a guy come in and throw 50 pitches in 2 innings and say, oh, I think you can get one more. So these are going to be all things that managers and pitching coaches have to figure out. But I really believe the team with the strongest and deepest bullpen are going to be the teams that get in.
Well, the managers that like to make pitching changes, and that includes the former Phillies manager, Gabe Kapler, are going to have a field day. How long are these games going to be?
That's a good question. I mean, they want to keep us off the field. They want to get them off the field as quick as possible because of the extra inning game. They're putting a guy on second.
Which is a joke.
The one thing I like about Joe Girardi is he likes to find roles in the bullpen, and I think that's going to really help our guys, knowing that maybe after the sixth inning, if the phone rings, it's going to be one or two guys. Before the sixth inning, if the phone rings, it's going to be one or three guys. And Joe's very good at that. So I think that's going to be a plus for us, the handling of a bullpen. And Brian Price, who I was with in Seattle, I really like him as a pitching coach. So I think we're in good hands there. It's a matter of you don't want to overuse the bullpen too early because, you know, 60 games is still 60 games. You know, after 20, 25 games, and if you overuse your bullpen, you're going to have to dip down into the what they call them taxi squads and bring some guys up. So I think Joe's good at that. So, you know, I think that's going to be a plus for us in handling the bullpen.
What was the quote that that Gabe Kapler made? Every inning's a playoff. What was the quote that he
had?
Yeah,
I saw that. He said every inning, every game's a playoff. We got to treat it as a playoff game. So they're putting their pedal to the metal. So I know there is a sense of urgency. There's no question about that. I mean, 60 games, you might see teams. Let's face it, you covered baseball a long time. Mm-hmm. Every team, no matter how bad or how good you are, they go through a stretch where they win maybe 10 out of 12 games. I'm even talking about Baltimore or Miami, teams of that nature that are, you know, basically rebuilding. So just say they get out of the gate really quick. Who's to say that they can't hang on there? I think the younger teams are going to have a little bit of an edge as far as, because they're all fighting for jobs. Let's say they're all fighting for jobs, all these guys that are rebuilding. So they're going to go out there and let it all hang out. Whereas, you know, if you have a veteran team, you don't want a guy pulling a hamstring or pulling a rib cage. You pull a rib cage, it's usually 5 to 6 weeks. You're done. So you got to be careful there. You got to make sure everybody's in shape and everybody's taken care of, and you don't abuse guys right away out of the gate.
So do I hear you saying that if you have a bullpen, that team already has a distinct advantage into making the playoffs?
I think if you have quality arms in the bullpen, you have a good chance of getting in the play. I really do, because I think it's going to be a sign of the bullpens. A team like Cincinnati, now, don't count these guys out in a short season. They got a good bullpen. They got some good starting pitching. And they got some guys that can hit the ball. They're a team that you'd keep your eye on in that central. But the depth of the bullpen is, you know, it's not a matter of having arms down there, because everyone's going to have arms. You're going to have 12, 13 pitchers, and if somebody blows out or they get the virus, you got guys. They're going to be, I think, at Lehigh Valley doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they just call them back. But they got to be quality arms, and I think that whoever has the most depth or the best depth is going to be a team that is going to get in the playoffs.
How much of a disadvantage do you think the Phillies are at, and anybody in that division that they set up? They're still going to count as the National League East, I guess, but they put them in with the Yankees, the Red Sox. Tampa's going to be really good. Miami's going to be better. And, you know, how much of a disadvantage are they going to be at just to even make the playoffs with the regular playoff teams?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a disadvantage. It's a tough schedule. But Washington and New York, and Atlanta, they all have to play the same team. So, I mean, it's not like, oh, the Phillies are just the team that have to play everybody else. The teams you named, I mean, go to the American League. You got Boston, who's always very competitive. You got the Yankees. You got Tampa, who is really good. People writing them off. They're really good. Toronto's an up-and-coming young team that have some talent. To me, out of all those teams, I would say Miami, but they've given us problems the last 3 years. So I'm not even going to – they got some good young arms.
Yep.
I would say the only – if there's a cupcake, is Baltimore. Other than that, I mean, you better play some good baseball and get out of the gate good. And there's really no easy games. I'm never one to think there's an easy game, but if you had to take a deep breath, maybe when you play Baltimore, you can breathe a little easier.
All right, when you look at this season, how legitimate do you really think it is with a 60-game season?
Well, Howard, let's face it. Washington, what were they, 19-31 last year? 32, yeah. I think, 19-32, and they won everything. There's some teams that get off to slow starts. I mean, there's got to be an asterisk whoever wins this thing. There's no question. I mean, 60 games is, it's not even half of a season. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be different. There's no question about that. The rules are different. The DH is in effect. I'm sort of old school on that, but the more I've watched the last couple years, I'm all for the DH. Pitchers, they don't even know how to. You know why, Howard? Because I've seen pitchers bunt. They wrap their fingers around the barrel, they break their finger. I seen them run to first base, they blow a hamstring. I see them slide head first into second, they hurt their shoulder. And let's face it, we got to keep pitchers on the field. I definitely, I'm old school, but I just, guys get hurt not pitching. They get hurt running the bases, pulling the rib cage, swinging too hard, squaring around a bunt, getting hit by a pitch. I think it's beneficial, especially to keep your pitchers from harm's way, I would say.
Well, the only reason they're doing it right now is because this way you don't have to pinch hit for a pitcher.
Yeah, I do think they might implement that. I do. I'm not positive, but maybe not next year, but in this new agreement that's coming up in after the 2021 season. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's a lot of players that are all in for it, and I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. See how it plays out here this year. Obviously, it's going to be more jobs. If you're a DH and only the American League team has DH, it's going to open up some job opportunities for some DHers in the National League.
You know, the one thing I don't understand, if let's say Boehm is part of it and comes up, does that start his clock? Is his clock?
That's a great question, and I got to just
– For people who don't understand his clock to get to free agency or get to arbitration.
I got to say yes. I'm not 100% on that, but I think if he plays, especially if he's on that roster for the 60 games, I got to think it does start the clock. But again, I'm not 100% sure on that.
All right. The way this thing came down, and not starting the season till the end of the July, because everybody is there was so much bickering going back and forth. You know, as a player, I'm not asking you to take sides here, but as a player, when you came up to the big leagues, did you really care about money when you played a big league baseball game? Was money the first thing on your mind?
No, it wasn't. I mean, I was happy to put a big league uniform on. I mean, I respected the game. I never thought I'd get to the big leagues. So I literally love the game of baseball. I still love the game of baseball. But I've been through four or five of these lockouts or strikes, whatever you want to call them, shutdowns. They're not fun, Howard. It's not good for the players. It's not good for the owners. It's not good for baseball fans in general. And it makes it really tougher this year because of the virus. I mean, you had a whole lot of people out of work. People couldn't even put food on the table. And so when they read all this, right away they think of the money and that. And I know that health to me is the most important thing right now. We got to keep our players healthy. But the timing of the way this unfolded wasn't real good. And hopefully we can get some fans back, even though it's only 60 games. But I know a lot of people that I talk to are really down on baseball because, and it really, they didn't take a lot of sides. The people I talk to, they blame both sides, which, like I said, I've been in these. And as a player, hey, you want to establish certain things, and I'm sure as an owner, you want to establish certain things because they're basically, they are jockeying for this next contract that's coming up. Trust me, this one in 2021, guys get a little bit closer together and can talk a little bit better than they did, and it won't be as nasty. But I expect something in this next negotiation to be really good.
I would think it's going to be nasty. Now, one of the things that the owners, I mean, they wanted to keep it the way it was financially because there was going to be no fans. Well, now right. I hear teams, whether it's Houston and the Texas Rangers, the hottest state in the country as far as new positive tests. I mean, that's like insane. Boston. Right. And then Miami, which is also really high.
Right.
You know, I just, hey, listen, the fans, to be safe, they'll just come out there. Do you think fans should be in the stands, and what effect do you think that has?
No, here's my opinion on that. Because I talked to Ned Rice about 45 minutes ago, and I asked him, I said, you know, I read the same thing you just told me about Houston and Boston and Miami. And here's my take on that. I really believe whether there's 5,000 people or 8,000 people in the stands, that's an advantage for teams that are playing in front of fans. And I've played in front of fans before, and they do get your adrenaline going. They get things happening. Even though if there's 5,000, 6,000 people, it's better than empty seats. And I just think that it should be, hey, if Philly can't have fans, why should Boston be able to have fans? You know, I don't understand that part of it, but I do understand the fact that owners are trying to recoup some money, and so they're going to open the gates. But I don't know how they're going to do this. Who can be open? I guess it's up to the states if they can.
It's up
let
to the municipalities.
In.
I think it goes
right.
Even
so,
beyond
you know, I don't
that.
Know what Philly's thing is right now. But I definitely think it's an advantage as far as the game. I'm not talking about health issues. It's probably a disadvantage with people in the stands, but I think it's an advantage to have people in the stands. I mean, you feel down one game, you're not into it, and all of a sudden you got, like I said, it could be 8,000 people. You put 8,000 people, social distance them, and they get you going. I mean, they start clapping, they start cheering, and that motivates people. And, you know, and I think there'll be an advantage for those teams that they get to have people in the stands. I really do.
I agree.
I don't think it's safe.
Some teams can have it and some teams can't, then you can't have it for anybody. It's just not fair.
I sort of agree on that, but that's
I don't think there should be fans anyway, because there's still a risk out there, which people don't understand.
There's a
still
big time
risk.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's what's happened in those those cities that you named, is people let their guard down a little bit and they start forgetting social distancing. They don't wear a mask. And, you know, before you know it, two guys have it. Then the next day, eight guys have it. And, you know, it just keeps multiplying. So, I don't know. Those are decisions that the municipalities got it. They got to handle that. I have no idea what the rules are there or who gets fans and who doesn't get fans.
All right. You may or may not have heard this the GOAT of Broad Street, the greatest of all time. Mike Schmidt was number two, which was a joke.
Wow.
But it was number
two. Who was number one?
Allen Iverson. It's just, come on now. Reggie White. So Iverson's ahead of Schmidt, Carlton. You go right down. Reggie White. And you were here when Reggie White played. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, okay, so tell people how great you played right next to Mike Schmidt, a teammate. We'll start with Schmidt. How great! He was the greatest third baseman of all time.
Best.
How great
Best.
A player he was!
Really great, really great. People have no idea, and they because of his I want to say his personality.
Personality. Yeah.
He everything came so easy to Mike. You put any ball in Mike's hand, basketball, tee up a golf ball, throw a football, baseball, anything. He was unbelievable. He was an unbelievable athlete. He had great range, great arm. And let's face it, his first 2 years he struggled, and he found out real quick how to do it. And to me, he, you know, I might be prejudiced. I think he's the greatest in Philadelphia. I respect all those other guys you named. Trust me, I watched Iverson, I watched Reggie, Carlton. I mean, those four. You throw a blanket over them, but I'm a little prejudiced because I played next to this guy. Schmitty's the greatest I've seen.
What was it like playing behind Carlton, especially in that season? And that was one of your early years in 1972. Yep. You guys sucked. I think you scored 16 runs in his 10 losses, and he won 27 out of the 59. But just his whole career, four Cy Youngs. How great was Carlton?
He was really great. The best I've ever seen left-handed. He would come in that, I think it was 72, and you know, we were a young team, and we got beat up a little bit, but he would come in and say, the only thing he would say, he walked through the door when he was pitching, today's win day, boys. Any way you find out, any way you can do it, you do it. Just do it. And we knew as a team, Howard, if we scored two runs, because we didn't have that good a team, if we scored two runs, we had a chance of winning. So I think mentally we knew, hey, we don't have to get five runs here tonight. We don't have to get six runs. If we get two, and sometimes if you get one, you got to win. And to do what he did on that bat of a baseball team was incredible. But I never seen so many right-handed hitters playing shortstop swing at sliders that when they swung, it hit their back foot. That's the kind of break that he had on his slider. It was devastating. And he was very intimidating out there, 6'5", 6'6". Unbelievable pitcher. I mean, I was very fortunate. I played with three guys, Pete, Lefty, and Schmitty. And to be on that team with those guys is an honor. And they were all what everybody makes them out to be. They were great players.
You know what people don't realize with Schmidt? And today, if a guy throws a complete game, it's like, you know, they raise flags and have parades. He had, I believe, that year, 30 complete games. I remember in his 15-game winning streak, the game that he lost, number 16, I was there. Phil Niekro was pitching against him. 11th inning. He lost 2-1. He still pitched all 11 innings.
I know.
Can you imagine that today?
No, that won't happen. Forget it. That won't happen. I remember one game I went to the mound, and Danny Ozark came out. It was the seventh inning, and the score was 3-2. Or it was a one-run game. We were ahead, and it was a man on second with one out. And Danny says, I'm going to make a change here. And Lefty says, who are you bringing in? And I don't even remember the name. He named him, and he says, no, you're not. He says, this is my game. And Danny says, okay, go get him.
Because he knew. It was just
unbelievable. He knew he was better than anybody. He knew in the seventh inning he was better than anybody you had coming in fresh out of the bullpen. He was a horse. When you talk about horse, look up horse in the dictionary. That's what Lefty was. He would go out there and battle, and unbelievable conditioned athlete. He would go through these things with Gus Heffling in between starts that Larry Christensen said one day to Danny, he says, hey, Lefty doesn't run. How come I have to? And he says, well, why don't you go in and do Lefty's thing, and if you like it, then you don't have to run. He went in and did a half of a workout, and he came out and told Danny, he says, I think I'll stay to running. So
said how tough he was against right-handers. Think about how overmatched left-handers just mail in the strikeout. Just mail it in when he threw against left-handers.
I'll give Dave Parker credit. He never bowed out. Every time we played the Pirates and Lefty pitched, and he didn't hit him at all. He was in that lineup every time. And, you know, him and Stargell basically said it's like eating soup with a fork hit off him. So
amazing. All right, another question that came up through all these different things, 2018. I don't know if there's a Hall of Famer on that team. Jimmy's probably close, but I'm not sure if Jimmy Rollins. But you guys had between you and Bob Boone, two borderline Hall of Famers. You had Schmidt, Carlton, Rose, obviously he's a Hall of Famer,
he
but won't get in.
Yeah.
There. Yep. But whatever the case, you know, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. But so the three guys that they consider keys for that team, and there was a lot of people, between Rollins, Howard, and Utley. Name in your order who you think the most important was, the second most important, and the third most important on that
on team. Our team?
Yeah, in 2008 Phillies. Oh, those three guys.
Those well, three who guys. I think is the most important on the Philly team.
On the 2008. Yes.
2008. I think it was Jimmy, one. Utley and Howard are close.
Howard had Howard, 40, what, 48
Howard, Howard never got hurt too much.
No.
You know what? Missed some games, and that's probably going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame because of his missed games and everything. It'd be tough between Howard and Utley, but Jimmy, to me, was the most important guy in that. On that team.
Yeah, it's just I just think that speed at the top, when speed was used, the game is all screwed up. It's not about who did I – I heard somebody – Ruben Morrow was on the radio this week.
Right.
And he says, I miss the singles. I miss the, you know, the speed on the bases. I miss the game the way it was supposed to be played. And these analytics have just completely screwed up this thing. You know, it's home
runs,
walks.
Howard, you know, I think the big thing is, especially on our team, I know that the 08 team, they hit a lot of home runs in that ballpark. But we had good speed and defense. We could go first to third. We could score from first and a double. We could steal bases. We caught the ball as good as anybody. But the game was different. We hit and ran. We did squeeze plays. We did all that stuff. It was baseball, the purest of baseball. And now, because of the analytics, the way it's set up now, I'm very anxious to see the first extra inning game with a man on second to see how many managers, because according to most analytics, bunting is taboo.
Yes.
So in a short season, I'm wondering how many guys are going to put a bunt on to get that guy from second to third, or are they just going to let the three hitters whack it? And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, the game is different. And by the way, I take Trio over Utley. If I that arm
Trio hit. Trio, let me tell you something. People don't know, Trio was really good. I mean, really good. And if Trio would have played in a small park, he'd have had some home runs too. He'd have had some home runs. Trio was unbelievable second baseman.
His
unbelievable.
Range, his arm, his
range, arm, double plays. He was really good. Really,
he could go out and get the ball from the right fielder and throw it home on the relay.
Oh, I've seen it. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 20 times and throw a seed home. So
it was unbelievable.
Great arm. We had a really good infield. We had a really good infield.
Well, we'll see how this all plays out. It's a different type of season. Maybe Joe Girardi will play the game better and use some speed.
I like Joe a lot. He's going to incorporate the analytics, and I think he's going to go with his gut. You know, he's been pretty successful. I'm real successful, not pretty. He's been real successful doing it, and he uses the combination of the two, which is good. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you use, and there's other stuff that to me is, I don't know. I'm not saying it's a waste of time, but you know, you look at it and you say, oh, okay. But Joe, I think, is going to incorporate both, and I like our pitching coach too. So. I think that if we can get out of the gate here, I love the way we were playing in spring training, and I know that doesn't mean anything. Spring training, I don't really like to get too keyed up in it, but I thought we played very good in spring training, and hopefully we can get out of the gate here in these 60 games.
All right. Hey, Bo, it's always fun talking baseball because some people still understand the way the game's got to be played.
Okay, Howard.
Which is different.
I appreciate it.
Stay safe, genius. Larry Bowe, always interesting, sharp, sharp baseball guy. But when you look at the Phillies of 1980, which they are a better team than the 2008 team. There's no question they're a better team. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. But when I say a lot of people, it's a millennial world. And for people that tell everybody they're great sports fans, if you're great sports fans, you know the history of your game. And the history of the game is Mike Schmidt, best third baseman that ever played the game, should be the best. Larry Bowe, obviously you heard how much he admires what he could do as an athlete, but certainly as a player. And then Steve Carlton, unbelievable for the people that didn't get to watch Steve Carlton pitch.
It was amazing. The fact that he could complete 30 games. He pitched extra innings. It was unbelievable. But, and then the comment, who would he take at second base between Chase Utley and Manny Trio? He didn't hesitate. It was Manny Trio. People didn't get to see Manny Trio play. He was an unbelievable second baseman defensively. One of the best arms you'll ever see at second base. You don't see those kind of arms at second base. And as you heard Larry Boa say, he would have hit more home runs in the parks that exist now. But kind of a fun time to talk to Larry. Baseball's coming up. I don't know that I really like what this baseball season is. I know it's something. I don't trust the owners. I don't think there should be fans in the stadiums. I think they should stick to the way they were going to approach this. There's too many spikes in the country now. Don't take it lightly. And don't take it, oh, well, you know, they're young guys and they get better. There are existing conditions that they're now discovering could exist for somebody that got sick. Doesn't hurt him now, but it could hurt him 10 years from now and anybody else that catches the virus. I don't care if it's 5,000 fans or 8,000 fans. I know it's better to have them in the seats, but we got to be safe. We got to get through this, and we've let this thing go too far, so we've got to get through it so things are better in the future, and hopefully they're better when the football season starts. And we'll talk about that down the road again. Again, thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Howard Eskin Podcast. And we'll see you next time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.